Welcome to Keystone Conversations, our podcast on the topics and issues important to the Keystone family. Our hope is to give you insight, wisdom, and resources as you press on to know and follow Jesus. I'm Randy Woodbury, executive pastor here at Keystone, and with me, a regular and a guest. Well, let's get to our regular, our lead pastor, Brent Minter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Good to see you. I'm super happy to be here.
So much fun. And then our guest who, at this point, I think it might be your third time, so you might actually get to graduate to Recurring guest star. Which is a better payoff.
I've made it.
Right. You get a better salary.
Hey, is that right?
No. Absolutely not.
Broken promises.
You get paid as exact same more for doing the podcast as we do.
Yeah.
But Jesse Edelman, Director of Worship. Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So fun, much fun of time. Fun time of year. I know it usually dates us, but man, it's got Christmas. You got a lot of concerts. You got kids. You got...
And snow.
Snow everywhere.
Oh. Yeah.
So, but our focus in this podcast is on something that's become a huge part of our DNA here at Keystone, and that is prepare.
Yeah.
And we're so excited. And Brent, I'm just going to kick you off with this because, one, this is something that was near and dear to your heart, not only where you came from, but as you constructed the idea here at Keystone. Just walk us through, because a lot of people may not have been here for Prepare, might not have heard its origin story.
Yeah.
But walk us through of how we got here today, what Prepare means to you, why do we do it all?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much here, Randy. Let's just talk about, for those who are newer and some who might need a reminder, what is it? I think here's the idea. The vision is this. Let's start the year together as a church, purposefully seeking God. And in a way... the best we can say, God, this year's yours. And there's nothing magic between January 1st and December 31st. But the way our culture is wired, we think about new beginnings a lot. Mm-hmm. And so as we go into this year, let's do it together as a church intentionally. And so what that intentionally looks like is the first, second week of January, we join together as a church and we kick off on Sunday morning and say, hey, it's Prepare. We give a lot of resources. And that Sunday morning, we give a lot of resources, give them a book. Here's where we're going as a church. I'm going to invite the church into a 3-day fast. And so that fast, when we say fast, we can talk about resources in a little bit. We're inviting people to abstain from food for the purpose of seeking the Lord and understanding our dependence on Him. And so we start that. A lot of us, even leaders, come together on Sunday night, eat a meal, our last meal together, and then Monday we begin seeking the Lord. And there's all sorts of things now. Early on, it was just the evenings, but during the day we give resources and devotionals, and then come together as a church and we worship and we bring in speakers. These are speakers that. I believe chase after the Lord and our God has gifted them to speak in large context. And so bring them in to encourage us and give us God's word. And so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we do all those things. I think what's super fun is that it kind of ends on a Wednesday now, and it's kind of becoming a little bit of a cultural thing to shut down the restaurants in Ankeny on Wednesday night.
That's right.
And so that's it. Let's seek the Lord. And that what that looks like is coming together to worship and to pray and to spend our days intentionally seeking the Lord. And I think the first time we did this was 2019. But is that true? No, it was 2020.
Mm. Right before
COVID. Year.
That's a lie. Because we were a part of the Delta variant. It was 2020.
It was a super spreader of that.
We were a super spreader of
it. We were the problem.
So over the last 4 or 5 years, it's gone from, you know, I remember coming to the elders and being like, this is something that I think we should do. And kind of all the elders' eyes getting really big, but really nodding at the same time. Like, what? We've never fasted here. I know, it'll be awesome, I promise. And so over those years, God has met so many people in so many ways. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things we could do at our church that they'd be sad if we didn't do it anymore. I think we would have a revolt and people's heads would roll if we didn't do Prepare anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just become such a sweet moment to meet with the Lord. And so that's it, man.
And walk me through,
yeah.
No, just walk me through. I'd love to just, I'm going to just lean in a little bit more. The first time that this concept was introduced to you, do you remember the impact it made on your heart and kind of why this kind of stuck so well for you?
Yeah. Honestly, the idea started as a worship guy in Texas. And so many years, churches would do, we're going to read through the Bible this year. Mm-hmm. And so there was always inside of church life, like, let's do this together. And I saw a church in Texas like, hey, we're instead of doing a, you know, Bible in the year, and we never talk about it outside the kickoff window.
Dies around numbers.
That's right. And so I saw a church like do a 21-day devotional thing, and they like wrote devotionals, and like it was a sermon, and they did it really well in a way that started the church year out. And I just always longed to do that as a church. Like, I mean, here's the reason. Maybe I think a big reason of this is, I did youth ministry for several years, and as a youth guy, you would never in a million years consider doing youth ministry and not doing summer camp. You're just like, that would be dumb, because there is real power in getting together as a group once a year and saying, we're going to worship, we're going to hang out, we're going to spend time together. And it's powerful. And when I talk to my Salt Network pastor buddies, I'm like, you would never consider doing Salt Company without fall retreat and also conference. Mm-hmm. Like, those are so powerful to what we do in Salt Company that they just have a power, because like, we're going to seek the Lord together. And I'm like, then why as adult church do we have nothing like that? That's right. And so you take on top of that, especially as we started preparing, and I think every year this is true, fasting is not, I would say, a complete fluency in the evangelical church. Right. People have read their Bibles. You read some of them out, when you fast, you should fast like this.
Right.
So I don't think it's hard to go from it's a biblical idea, but most people don't have a biblical practice of it. And so let's throw all those things in the pot. Let's make something together.
So good.
And so, and also in the midst of that, Randy, this is all pastors laugh at this, but there's something like, our people are so used to hearing me talk. They know my jokes. They know my mannerisms. And so there's
some. You know, you're from Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, blessings. Am I right? but there are some things that if I say it, they're so used to me saying it. Mm. And if someone else comes from the outside and says it, it's powerful. And I experience this. There's sometimes I go and speak at other places and they're like, God, it was unbelievable, Brent. And I'm like,
I said that yesterday.
Yeah. But there's something powerful about other people that are trusted, that are, you know, messengers of God in the form of preaching to us, that we hear their voices and their stories with unique ears. And so you throw all those mixes together, and it was just always a desire. And so in fact, I wanted to do, if you go back, I bet we could go back in the history of Keystone. There was a year that I started the sermon series. We stopped our sermon series and did something first for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that was my first attempt. And then I really wanted to do it the year we launched the Unfinished campaign, but we did Unfinished in January, so we couldn't do it then. That's the reason we did it in 2020, because I'd always longed to do it, and it happened.
So, Jesse, let me do the flip side of this. So that was the great origin story and rationale from the OG creator of it. You experienced Prepare for the first time last year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask you from two different perspectives. Let's start from just your staff perspective as director of worship. That type of environment, that type of commitment over 4 days, just walk me through what your first thoughts when you heard about Prepare, and just your first thoughts basically constructing worship sets during that. And then I'll have some follow-ups for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, first thought was, wow, that's a lot, to be honest. But
right after Christmas.
First year here trying to figure it all out. But I think, I mean, it was fun to kind of ask a lot of questions, like in meetings as we're thinking about preparing, like, okay, what is this event? What's this for? And just to hear the heart of what we hope that Prepare will be and will do for people in our church and in our own lives. And so I think it was a really fun process to figure it out and learn it. Also a really fun chance to just think creatively of like, how do we lead our people in this season specifically with this specific goal that is Prepare to use worship to help people through that process. Mm. And so as we thought through the sets, as we thought through the elements, through the foyer, through it, kind of just everything, it's like, how do we best lead our church to become dependent on God and to ask the big things? And so really, really fun but challenging process.
I also think this would be a good time just to remind our people that when you construct and your team construct sets, environments, plans, the intentionality behind it is very high and specific. And because a lot of times, again, I've been in meetings with you that I always represent the person who doesn't know songs and worship, and I'm the dumb sheep, right? So what I see is an excellently produced, excellently executed song that was a wonderful, but it took 75 steps to get there.
Yeah.
And so as you look at this now from, and so you do the same for prepared, but now take that hat off, and now as a participant, you and your family for the first time, how did that experience come?
Yeah, it was really, really cool, both to have our kids involved in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was leading, but my kids got to experience it, and just to talk with them afterwards is really cool. But I think for me personally, there's a few things that like really stand out as something unique that God did in me. One was I got really sick. Literally right before prepare. I lost my voice because we had some rehearsals and I just got sick, you know, out of nowhere because it's winter, you know. And I think we were leading into that Sunday night, the leaders gathering, and I didn't have a voice at all. I couldn't sing. Mm. And I remember just crying out to God in the back hallway behind the stage, like, God, just please, just help me get through tonight. You know, because we're like, we're going to be fasting. I'm going to not have energy to sustain me.
Right. Mm.
And it was actually a really powerful moment for me because I was able to sing. Like literally leading up to that point, I could not get a thing out. And to just go up in front of that mic, I'm like, I'm just going to go for it. And to be able to sing, I was just like, it was just a little thing, but it was a huge thing for me. Just the way that God answered that prayer and significant to me. And then just to see the way that God sustained me through that being sick. And even on top of that, like having like fasting for 3 days, I don't know. I don't exactly know why this happened other than God sustaining me. But for whatever reason, I didn't feel hungry the entire 3 days, like not one hunger pain that I experienced. I'm like, if that's not God sustaining me through this, I don't, because I've fasted before, but I've never experienced that. And so it's just a cool just blessing that I got to experience. And I don't know if that'll happen again this year or not, but I mean, I gotta hope it does. But at the same time, maybe it's different this year, but just to see how God provided time and time again and just making things happen. And it's incredible.
Yeah. How would you help our people? And Brent, I'll ask you the same. Let's use from your worship standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
What would be one or two key things you would encourage our people as they, for lack of a better word, prepare?
Yeah.
What do you want them to come in with or some reminders to how to enter into this time?
Yeah, I think this is what I do when I come into something like prepare is I like to think back on what God has done and just the ways that he's provided, the things that he's done, both, I mean, through hardship and through like positive thing, and just remind myself of his faithfulness so that I'm ready to go. I mean, that's every Sunday, that's how I try to come prepared. It's like, remember what God has done and let that be my fuel for worship. I think that's huge. And I think too, just the idea of dependence. It's so easy for us when we come into something like a Sunday or prepare, even for those who've experienced it before, like, okay, I've done this before. I know how it goes generally, but instead of kind of coming in with, I know this category. I know what this is going to be like, to just come in expectant for God to do something beyond like what we could imagine.
It's been fascinating to me as I talk to our people in multiple environments, our ability to give people space to reflect is much more powerful than I ever realized.
Yeah.
Because in a busyness of life, it's probably the first thing that gets sacrificed on the altar.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't have time to reflect. Some people do it naturally. Most people don't do it without intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
Brent, how about you? How do you encourage our people as they get ready for prepare? How do they prepare their hearts, souls, bodies?
I mean, the really practical thing is you're going to hear this in December. And I would say build the margin in your calendar to engage it properly.
Oh, good.
Sometimes guys don't have control. Ladies don't have control. There's going to be schedule things. But, you know, we start talking about prepare 30, 60 days out.
Right.
I think you should actually, you know, move meetings around on your calendar that you can. Mm-hmm. Schedule that, like cancel that meeting. And again, God can meet you if you mm-hmm. can only come to one night.
Right.
But, you know, I would just say start with the end in mind, which is like, I want to be fully present. And I really vacillate between holy expectation and holy dependence. Mm. Because I don't even want to, I mean, we would shut down prepare if people thought, oh man, these are the three nights God meets with us and then nowhere else.
Right.
Like, not true.
Right.
Like, no. I know all the speakers very well. They're not that great.
That's right.
And Jesse's going to be awesome in worship. But the same Spirit of God that meets us in prepare meets us every Sunday. So, mm-hmm. So there is a holy expectation, but prepare is not going to solve your life. What it is going to do is give you a holy dependence, and it makes you more aware of your dependence, which mm-hmm. perks our ears up a little more to hear from God in unique ways. So I think have expectation. God, I need you. But also, I think God, if you never said another word, you've said enough. And me showing up here and giving you honor for 3 days, the beginning of the year, is the right thing.
Sure.
Both of those things are true. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like lean in, man. Yeah. Like do everything you can to lean into the moment.
Great examples. The one I would add to it is I have seen over the years the power of the prepare prayer.
Yeah.
And I would encourage our people to start thinking about what would you put at the feet of our Lord in 2026?
Yeah.
What's, you know, we've seen it, we've had some speakers focus on, you know, the wildly crazy prayer that you never thought you'd ask.
Yeah.
But we have heard actual stories, which I think is a good thing.
Oh, man.
Actual stories of the, I can't believe this mm-hmm. was answered by God.
Yeah.
What is that in your life? And just have that percolate in your mind. Let the Holy Spirit work with that. As you are in the Word between now and then, what could you write on a piece of mm-hmm. paper? Not that the paper matters, but that, hey, Lord, help me with this year. Mm-hmm. And just be ready for that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in the moment, you don't feel like prepared to do that.
Yeah.
Yes, that'd be good.
And Jesse, so for those who don't know, I mean, that's part of the book. I mean, I didn't say this early on. Part of the process is we're going to say, what is your prepare mm-hmm. prayer?
Right.
And we'll give you five categories of life to try to write some prayers out of. And write those things down and remember them, because God is going to answer some of them. And he's going to answer some in ways that you wouldn't ask, think, or imagine. Mm. And it's really helpful to remind yourself, oh, God, I asked that mm-hmm. of you. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Jesse, this year is a new aspect of prepare that you're kicking off. Walk us through what this worship podcast concept is going to be and how our people are supposed to use it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. The kind of vision statement for the podcast is that the podcast is meant to engage believers in an expression of worship that will spur faith-filled action through song and devotion. Mm. And practically, what that means is we're going to have five different podcasts where we go through and we use a song that we sing here at Keystone, or a song we will sing at Keystone, and we'll kind of just do a devo on that song. And so different people will come in. Brent, I know you're slated for one or two of them. And we're just going to give another resource for people to, whether it's in the morning, the afternoon, whenever they can get to it, just use it to help prepare their hearts for both that night, the whole season of prepare, and kind mm-hmm. of what God's going to be doing. So pretty excited about that. There's going to be five of them.
Nice.
So there's going to be one kind of before prepare, one after prepare, and then three during prepare. So
what a great addition to what to expect. Mm-hmm. And Brent, you remind our people of an old aspect of prepare that's been there from the beginning, but it's the most unknown part of it. Just walk us through again fasting in terms of how people might do it, where resources might be.
Yeah. So, man, we have all the resources. I'm going to talk a little bit, but just want to give the link. Go find in the show notes or just jump in online, mm-hmm. keystonelife.com/prepare. And I think the thing I would tell people is don't hear fasting and be nervous.
Mm.
Hear fasting and hear an invitation. I think I would clearly say there's a lot of things you could fast. What we are saying at fasting during prepare is we're calling you to some level of fasting from food. There's multiple ways you can do that, from a total fast to a partial fast, to, man, I have a meeting on Monday and Tuesday that I got to be dead on, so I can listen, there's grace upon grace upon grace here, okay? But while there's grace, we're also actually trying to look at the people of Keystone and say, take a step that's uncomfortable for you.
Good word.
And here's the reason. Not to punish yourself. This is not for you to be new year, new you, and get the body you want.
Diet.
That's weird. Don't do that. So, but what it is an invitation for us to uncover our dependence on God. Like, there are so many ways we can just skate around this world and not realize how dependent we are on God. Miss two meals, and you realize really quick, oh, Lord, like, I am so weak and frail. And there's something about meeting God in the midst of that that awakens our soul to how much we truly do need him. And I think that shapes the way we pray. It shapes the way we worship. It shapes the way we hear when his word is preached. And so the invitation is to jump in there. Again, there's complete fast. There's everything from water fast to juice fast. Some people do something like Daniel fast where they will only eat vegetables. I would encourage someone, like, listen, I'm assuming that everyone's being wise enough that if they have physical issues that they can talk to their doctor. Yep. We're not calling for stupidity, but we are calling for to take a step of dependence and maybe a step. It's never comfortable. I've never started preparing gone, oh, this is going to be awesome. Right. I mean, because
this is the greatest,
it turns out some of us are on the platform working like, and it is like, you're trying to keep your mind sharp. And there's moments where like going by Wednesday, you're like, oh man, like last year I had to prep. Like it was this, like, you know, less than 24 hour prep to preach on a third day fast. And God met me because there's some of it I'd already done. And but like, it's hard. It's not something that you go, oh, I can't wait till that happens to prepare. So I want to challenge you to take a step. And again, not to earn God's grace, not to punish yourself, but to step in and participate with him and say, God, I actually want to embody the dependence that I have on you. And so that's the encouragement. We have resources. There's articles. There's a couple of videos of elders. Actually, in the No One Fall Library at KeystoneLife.com, we have something over fasting. So lots of resources, videos, all those things. They're all there. Grab a hold of it. And here's what I would tell you without a question. Make a plan. You're not going to come to Monday morning and be like, well, what am I going to do? I'll figure that out tomorrow morning. You won't. You'll eat your sugar pops, right? Or just go, I'm going to start the first day and see what happens. It's okay to say I'm fasting one day. No problem.
Right.
I would just encourage you. I have found that the enemy works in a fast. Either guilt or shame. For some reason, this has not ever been true in prepare for me. But sometimes when I'm fasting alone, I've actually faced temptation. It feels like even more than normal. So I feel like I don't want you to be like, I'm going to fast and then feel guilty because you broke it early. Like, just make a plan.
Right.
Talk about it in your connection group. Right. Like, let that be an open conversation. If you need help through that process, pray for people. This is supposed to be an encouragement for you.
That's
but it's new, so let's take baby steps and make a good plan.
So good. As we close up, Brent, just remind our people the lineup of what's happening. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do for each person.
Okay.
You're going to give their name and where they're at.
Okay.
Tell us the favorite, in one sentence, the favorite thing about that speaker in your life. So let me start out, as you think, right? Because our first speaker on Sunday is someone named Brent Minter, lead pastor at Keystone Church.
Let's go.
And Jesse, you could jump into here too, but whose breadth and depth of knowledge on so many topics is mind-blowing to me because I can't keep up.
Yeah.
And so I try hard to keep up, but man, I always lose.
Yeah, that's funny.
So that's my sale right there.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go a little bit.
Spiritual on me.
Yeah, maybe. Oh. Sorry. No, I'd say like one thing that I love about how you teach and just who you are as a person is your authenticity. Like you're just you and you're who you are. no matter what situation you're in, and you're just a guy who is, I love to follow. And so I'm excited that you're going to kick off, prepare, and I think you're going to lead our church really well to lead come into that week.
So that's Sunday.
That's Sunday.
Who's Monday?
Monday, I'm actually thinking, pause.
Austin Wadlow?
Nope.
No.
No. Monday is Chris Haruska.
Oh, I got mixed up.
Chris Haruska is the co-lead pastor at City Light in Omaha, part of the Salt Network. They do incredible work in Omaha, but have planted so many churches as well. Get the opportunity of being on the board, Salt Network board with him, and have been for a number of years. And so he's become a dear friend as a board. We always have a board retreat every summer, and our wives all get together. So there's kind of like this, we've been with all of our wives for several summers together. I think probably one of the things that I appreciate about Chris, I would say twofold, is he's a man who's never gotten, who's never outgrown the need for the gospel in his life.
So good.
And he is very authentic. He is one of the funniest people on planet Earth. And he's crazy, and I love all that about him. But I think he really believes the gospel, and he believes he needs the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I love that he's never gotten gotten over that. Mm. But I think something that's really fun about him is he's one of the most encouraging people I know.
So good.
He encourages. I mean, he is his tongue's constantly building life into people because he's an encourager.
So that brings us to Tuesday
night. Austin Wadlow is Tuesday night, and hopefully that sucker doesn't call me the night before and say he can't come. His kid was very sick, so that was legit. but Austin is coming back.
Lead pastor at Commons Church.
One of our church plants. That church is doing unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable what God's doing there. I think one of my favorite things about Austin is twofold. Number one, for those who've heard Austin preach, his boldness. Mm-hmm. Man, he is just bare-knuckle bold. I love that. I was on the phone with him today. Mm-hmm. And here's one other piece I love. He loves his people. Mm-hmm. He got on the phone and goes, dude, I got a few minutes. I just got a phone call. It's a 97-year-old woman who is one of the biggest prayer warriors of their church. Is probably going to pass away today. Mm-hmm. He goes, I got to get to the hospital. And little known fact, when I hired Austin to come here, I flew to Texas to watch him preach and watch him lead his ministry environment. And I knew he's an incredible speaker, but just trying to figure out, is he going to fit this character? And I knew I was going to hire him in one moment. We walked in, the day after his ministry event, we went to Cracker Barrel to have breakfast.
Of course.
And, as one does, for the record, fight me about Cracker Barrel because I love it.
You love
But we walked in and there was Austin was a college guy at his church. And he walked in and saw this 70-year-old dude at his church, knew his name, went and sat down and talked to him, and he treated old people with respect. Mm. And I'm like,
There you go.
Dave Rhodes. You guys don't know him, and I'm so excited you get to know him. I've known Dave for probably 8 or 9 years now. Some of the leadership of our church, our elders, and some other folks have been able to get to know him. I respect Dave Rhodes and his voice and his prophetic edge as much as I've ever respected anyone. Mm. And when I say prophetic edge, I mean his pastoral prophetic edge. He just walks with God and God downloads some things to him that's not normal. Mm-hmm. And it's always impacted me. And so I can't wait for him to be at Keystone.
So much fun. So hopefully as you plan ahead, I think that'd be my final word as we, you know, Brent's word to plan is very important here because it is a time commitment. It can be a physical commitment. It's a heart commitment.
Yeah.
Walking in there is not, oh, just another, you know, 65-minute session of this. This is a time to meet with God and be prepared for that. So that'd be my encouragement to our people and all of our encouragements. So
yeah.
Go to KeystoneLife.com, prepare and be ready for that. But thanks so much for being part of our conversation today. If you'd like to know more about Keystone in general, hear sermons, or listen to more conversations, visit KeystoneLife.com. Until next time, keep the conversation going.